This morning I'll be starting a new series, it's a summer series, in the book of James. And I believe we have a PowerPoint that might show up here. Here we go, yeah. It's titled Faith That Works. We'll be looking at the book of James for this summer. Really excited to look at this book. James is a really, really application-oriented book. It's very, very practical. If you read it before recently or in a long time ago, if you haven't, it just focuses on how can I put my faith in Jesus into practice in tangible ways. I wanted to share a story. I've shared it before, I think, but it works really well, the highlighted point, I hope. So, here's the story. So, when I was in college in 2010, I used to do running, and I got injured, which was a real bummer. Anyways, I had an injury I should have taken care of, but I just decided to take 8 years off from attending to it. So then I found myself in a place where my body doesn't want to function as well as it could. So I found myself in physical therapy 2 years ago because of a running injury, and I was very humbled. I used to be a runner, but not a runner. I really couldn't walk very well without feeling uncomfortable. And so I was in physical therapy, I learned all these wonderful stretches and strengthening exercises that all I had to do was do them every day and I'd be a whole lot better, right? And maybe some of you have been in physical therapy, you get the cool printout sheets that you throw away instantly and then you come back next week. No, don't do that. That's what I did though. I was like, who cares? I know how to do these. I used to do these years ago, but I haven't done them in a while. So anyways, went there for a little while, a couple of weeks, really good, feeling a lot better. And then after that, I went back to my old approach of not applying any of the stretches or strengthening, and some of you realize where I'm going with this, right? So then the year after, I was like, I haven't been doing much, but there's soccer tournament I want to play in, and I haven't exercised in 8 or 10 years. I thought this would be a great opportunity to play 8 hours of soccer. So then I did that, and as you can imagine, I was back visiting my friends at physical therapy now for 10 weeks. I was like, hey, missed you guys, I just wanted to come back, I wrecked my body, here I am. It was really awkward though, because when I was there, I knew some of the people from before, but I also knew every single exercise. It was really weird. They would try to tell me something, and then I would cut them off and tell them how to do the stretch, because I'm very, very educated on how to do my stretches and my strengthening. But then I started to feel more and more humble, because I thought, if I know all these exercises and all these stretches, then why am I here, right? I knew them all. I actually could probably teach most of you how to do all of them. And it would be amazing if you had a similar injury. I remember the Lord showing me in that moment that just because you know information on something doesn't mean it would radically change your life if you're not applying that. Isn't that true? Just because you know information about something does not mean you have radical change in your life. I knew all of it. That's why I threw up the sheets I had in my head. But I wasn't applying that. And so often in our Christian walk, if we have to be honest with those who are pursuing Jesus, we can know more information about God, what he wants us to do, than we're actually applying. Anybody with me? Right? Right? We're in a culture, especially in America, we have access to Bibles for free. You can go online to Bible Gateway, you can download the YouVersion Bible app, all free, and you can get exposed to so much of God's Word, which is amazing. Always stay there, live there. But God's not just inviting us to know a lot about him or to know about things we should be doing. The step that we really need to take is actually applying them. You guys with me? Right? Our lives won't look any different next year if we just learn about a lot of neat things that God used James to speak to the Jewish Christians. If all we know is information, we'll be really, really smart Christians. But I think what God is calling us to is not to be super, super smart Christians, but devoted Christ followers who walk humbly and serve Jesus in whatever capacity we find ourselves in. That sound good?
Yeah.
You guys with me?
Yeah.
I hope so. That's where we're going. So, let us look to not just hear the word of God this morning and receive, but to invite God, Lord, how can I apply this today, tomorrow, throughout the entire week? Even if it's only one thing you get from this morning as you read God's word, hold on to that. Maybe you just want to read the same verse from James all week and just apply it. Ask the Lord. But I would encourage that all of us, God, we grow this week in applying the things that we're learning. So let's read, let's look at James chapter 1 is where we'll start. We're going to be looking at the first 18 verses. This morning's message I entitled Faith Lenses. So you can turn there. Or Lenses of Faith. What did I title that? I'm getting confused. All right, Faith Lenses. There we go. Faith Lenses, yeah. This whole idea of looking at our life circumstances and where we are at with the eyes of faith instead of just looking at it in our own way. And I'll explain a little bit more of that in a moment. But let's look at James chapter 1, starting in verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes in Dispersia, greetings. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Let the lowly brother boast in his exaltation, and the rich in his humiliation, because like a flower of the grass he will pass away. For the sun rises with its scorching heat and withers the grass. Its flowers fail and its beauty perishes. So also will the rich man fade away in the midst of his pursuits. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. Let no one say, when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has deceived, is first to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will he be brought, of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Let's take a moment to pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word this morning. God, may you continue to speak to us, Lord. God, may we have insight into who you are and the promises you are inviting us to believe and apply this week. I pray, Lord, that we would be changed. Even this morning, the way that we leave will be different from the way we came in. But even next week, Lord, I pray that we would look different because we'll be looking more and more like Jesus. May you increase and may we decrease, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So, a little bit about James. James is the only New Testament author who's actually biologically related to Jesus, which that's got to be pretty crazy, right? I mean, Jesus is kind of like your older brother, so to speak. Obviously, spiritually, we're brothers and sisters in Christ, but James actually is his older brother was Jesus, which is pretty awesome. I was thinking about that. How awkward would that be for James and Jesus? Like, you don't know a lot about their history when they're younger. But if they were like having a bunch of fish for dinner, and then James ate a bunch of extra fish, and then Mary came over, and it's like, hey guys, who ate all the fish? And then James is pointing at Jesus, and then Mary just kind of laughs. You guys ever think about that? Right? Jesus can't lie, he can't sin. I don't know, I'm just thinking about that, like, man, James, you probably had a rough go. If your brother is perfect and cannot sin, it's always James, every single time. you can think about it more, you'll get it later, maybe. Okay, but yeah, James, he's a brother, biological brother of Jesus, but it's amazing to think of that James, who's now writing this, who's a leader in the early church, he's writing this, and look what he says. He says, as a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's referring to his older brother, but you get to see that he didn't see him as an older brother. He came to have the realization that Jesus was indeed the Lord and Christ, the Messiah. And this is the one that he is following. This is the one that he's serving. He's writing specifically to, it says, the 12 tribes in the Dispersia. He's referring to Jewish Christians recently came to know Christ who are now being persecuted and fleeing everywhere. So they're going all over the place because of persecution. As I was studying this, some scholars link this back to like Acts 8, If you remember, our Acts 7, Acts 8, with the stoning of one of the early leaders, a deacon, Stephen. He was stoned to death, and all this persecution broke out. One of the earlier people who was leading that was Saul, and so everyone's getting scattered everywhere. People are getting rounded up, thrown into prison. People are on the go. And so James is writing to early Jewish Christians, who maybe some of their former rabbis are now persecuting them. But they're on the go, and they're in a very difficult time. So it's really good to know the setting, because as we look at all these opportunities to look at different situations with faith lenses on, we got to realize these are not like easy opportunities of like, oh, everything's going well, just have faith in God or apply faith. This is actually really difficult. You can get thrown in prison. You might possibly die for having faith in Jesus. And so here's the audience, the Jewish Christians who are being scattered. So first thing I want to look at is having faith on the go. That while we're going around, and regardless of where we are, whether we're moving or we're moving out because of difficulty or our own agenda, know that, hey, let's have faith on the go. So James Simpson, right off the bat, he acknowledges the circumstances of his brothers. And it's interesting. He starts out with this, which oftentimes, at least for me, isn't my default response to difficulty. I don't know what your default response to difficulty is, but this is what James' encouragement is. He says, count it all that word?
Joy.
Yeah, count it all joys. Like, James, what are you doing? No, despair. Right? When you're going through something difficult, relational strain, health problems, finance, whatever it is, you know, addiction, it can be really easy, right, not to count it all joy. But when you have these faith lenses on, you get a different perspective of the same circumstance. Are you with me? Right? You can be in a circumstance and get to see Jesus and his promises. We have faith in Jesus and his promises, not in us and our promises, but Jesus and his promises. When we have that, it can change our perspective, which can change how we're doing stuff. And so I thought about faith lenses. It's hopefully things that help us illustrate things, but I also love that all the kids are on here. So I thought I should pick up some lenses that help us with the faith lenses. All right, so I know it's a little ridiculous. If you're new here, we do take things seriously. I'll come back in a week or two. But yeah, we have faith lenses on. I know it looks a little goofy. I'm not going to keep them on the whole time. But let's be honest. If you have faith in Jesus, it does look a little weird. Think about Noah, right? Noah was told by God, build an ark that nobody's ever seen, and people make fun of him, and he did it. Right? Right? Or you think about Abraham. Go leave your whole family and everything you know. Just go to a place you don't even know. I'm going to lead you. Looks a little weird, a little sketchy. You think of Esther. Go to the king who might end up killing you, possibly, with a message of you need to save all the Jews. We'll see how that works, right? Or you have Rahab, who was like, I think I'll side with the God of the Israelites and not of those of Jericho and have faith. And she's remembered as a hallmark of faith, of trusting in God. Faith in Jesus looks different because it's focusing on who God is and his promises. And this is making me have a hard time seeing. But it looks at God and his promises and say, you know what? I'm going to trust in God more than what I see. I'm going to trust in God specifically when I cannot see in the natural. Like, God, you're going to work something miraculous in this situation. Are you with me this morning? Like, God, I have faith in you and your word. Not in the circumstances, not in my energy, not in my power, not in the things I think of, not in my logic. God, I want to have faith in what you say and who you are. So James has this perspective that just blows us away. And if you're in a place of difficulty, may this encourage you this morning to have faith in trials. If you're going through something very difficult, the encouragement that God is working something in you that is greater than we can even understand or imagine. In the Christian walk, as we grow towards God, most growth comes in trials. Amen? Those who are older than me, probably could double amen that. Most growth comes in trials. Kind of like in the Old Testament, they use this wording of the idea of like a crucible, a structure that you would heat up precious metal extremely, extremely hot to then have all the impurities just float to the top. They could scoop out and have like a metal or gold or silver or whatever, just beautiful with no impurities. That's oftentimes what God does in our lives in a trial. Things are heating up on all sides. You feel like you're surrounded, like you're in a crucible moment. Everything's heating up. You're like, God, what is going on? Natural, freak out. Faith lens, Lord, you're doing something here, right? God, you're still in control. You don't change yesterday, today, or forever. If there's something you're doing, God, can I see it? And specifically, can I see you in this trial? James encourages the early believers to count it all joy when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. Now, faith here, I just want to mention, is faith in Jesus. We talk about like salvation faith, like if you want to know God, you have to have faith that he died for you on the cross and resurrected and is coming back again, and our Lord and Savior, having faith in him for salvation. But from that faith, it has like a horizontal output, or it should have a horizontal output, that because we trust in God and who he is, we're going to put that into action and move out. If we're not careful, we can just literally go into, I believe that Jesus died for me, I have faith in that, my life will not look any different until I die or he comes back. But God is calling us to something much greater than that, to be his hands and feet as we're working together. So let's move to the next thing. So as you're on the go, let's look at faith-filled asking. Once again, difficulties, persecution, and I'm sure there's a lot of people in this context that are looking for wisdom. I'm sure some this morning you're looking for wisdom as well. The invitation here is to ask God for wisdom. It's awesome. What a great encouragement. It says, if any of you lacks wisdom. Anybody this morning lack wisdom? Anyone? I lack wisdom. It's like a go-to prayer several times a week. If any of you lacks wisdom, get this. Let him ask God who gives generously to all. Hey, that's you and me, right? We're in there. All. Without reproach. He doesn't have favoritism. He's not looking for something. And it will be given him. So if you're asking wisdom as you're going through life, have faith that God, I'm going to ask you for the wisdom. I'm going to slow down. I'm going to ask you for wisdom first before I try every other option and realize I'm desperate and then come to you. That still works. He's there. But it's much better to go to God first. God, I need wisdom. And it says that wisdom needs to be coupled with faith, that I believe in Jesus and his word that is shared. If we don't come with faith, the interesting thing James says here, it's like we're like an unstable person on the seas who's tossed and thrown by the waves. If you ask God and he gives generously and you receive from God, but yet you doubt the word of God and that is the only source of truth, there's no other option to find the truth, right? If you ask God, God, I need insight. How can I best care for my family? Boom, God, this is what I need to do. That's not it. All right, you know, where else are we going to find that insight? We just ask for it, but then we're doubting the thing we're asking for. Jesus is like, don't approach it that way. Come with faith. God, I need help. God already knows you need help. I need wisdom. God has wisdom. He's generously going to give. And when you couple that with faith, I'm going to trust, even if it seems a bit different, which oftentimes it is, than the way we're thinking, maybe the timetable. Maybe it's not actually a doing something, but maybe it's the waiting, right? Oh, those are hard words, right? Wait. You want me to wait longer? I want a quick solution right now. God's like, just wait. I'm working something beautiful. You need to wait. Have wisdom to wait. Or maybe it's wisdom to act. Wisdom to speak. Wisdom not to speak, right? Those who talk a lot, maybe it's just saying less. Ask the Lord. God, if you have lack of wisdom, ask. And he will generously give without reproach. Let's move on. Talks about, James is talking about having faith for the future. He contrasts two different things, specifically with a heavenly-minded focus. He talks about those who be on the go who are lowlier, less resourced, or a lowly brother that doesn't have a lot of resources. And he says the focus you should be on your exaltation, that ultimately your future benefits are outside of this world. What God has for you is amazing, and you might feel like this on the planet, because you look at other people, it's like, man, they got a lot more than I do, but I'm just right down here. Just know that in Christ, you are valuable. In Christ, you have an inheritance. In Christ, he is your future. So, let's look up. Don't look down and just get stuck in your circumstances. So he talks in one category there, but then he also talks to those who have a lot of worldly possessions, to actually look down. Like, because it's so easy, if you have more, to be like, oh, I could potentially be like, oh, everything I have on my own, whatever, the pride seeps in. He's actually, stay low, stay humble. Not saying get rid of all your money, but stay low, stay humble. And realizing that none of that stuff, the material things, none of that we can bring to heaven, right? Even though sometimes we can focus all our energy on there, we can focus a lot of our time and work and everything goes towards resources, which are great, but none of that we can bring to heaven. So even those who are maybe more resourced on the planet, stay low. And those who have less, just realizing your exaltation, it's coming. It's in heaven, it's going to be amazing. And for those who have a lot of resources, it's the same deal, right? Our resources are in Jesus, and everything God has given to us, we're maybe stewarded, because it literally will just fade away as the grass. Let's move on to faith rewarded. So it talks about here, it says, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. that as they're going through these difficulties, and James encouraging the early believers, the Jewish Christians, that they're going through, it's given the long-range goal. And when you're in a trial and when you're in a difficulty, one of the key things you need is one word, and it's hope, right? You need hope. If you're in something difficult and you then start to falter in hope, despair, discouragement, depression, and even other thoughts can come in that there's no point to move on. And James is encouraging those who are being persecuted, locked up in jail, thrown in prison, some even killed, you got hope. Even this trial of difficulty, stay steadfast. Know that there is a reward in heaven and that God's the one that's guaranteeing it. There's a lot of good things coming ahead, even in a difficult time. If these early Christians were just going by circumstances and not by God's word or who he was, I think the default place it would just be utter despair. There'd be no reason to worship if it was based on circumstances. There'd be no reason to share the gospel. There'd be nothing if it was based on circumstances. But I really appreciate how Aaron actually mentioned this morning, we don't worship God, right, based on circumstances, right? That was already God was already speaking that. We don't worship God on how we're feeling. I feel happy, so I'll worship God. I feel sad, so I won't worship God in my life. God is calling us to worship him, have faith in him at all times, because he is worthy at all times. Amen?
Amen.
Let's look at faith to overcome. Moving on, it says, let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. It says, for God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. So as the Jewish Christians are on the go and moving around, temptation comes. It's giving this reminder that temptation to sin, this isn't God tempting you, but there's actually something within it, and it's our own sinful desires coming out. Now, the interesting thing is temptation itself is not a sin. It's what you do with the temptation. You might remember, actually, that Jesus was tempted. After he was baptized, Holy Spirit came on him like a dove. God says, my beloved Son, who I love. It then says that the Holy Spirit led Jesus to the wilderness, and he was fasting for 40 days, and he was tempted by the devil. But you might remember, for those who are familiar with this, that Jesus responded to every single temptation from the devil with God's word, right?
Amen.
He locked in on the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy, and he responded four times what the word of God says that's been spoken. If that is how Jesus overcomes temptation, might that be a model for you and for me, right? And that's how Jesus overcomes the tempter, the father of lies, the devil himself, and is victorious. Might that be a place of victory for you and I? God does not tempt us. It's our own sinful desires and enticing that's coming. But know that elsewhere in Scripture talks about that when we're tempted, God promises to give us a way out. So if you're dealing with temptations on a daily basis, or maybe there's addictions you're struggling that lead to temptations on a daily basis, ask God, Lord, where's the way out? Pursue Jesus, flee from sin, and invite other people to help you if you're in a place of addiction or temptation. Pursue Jesus, flee from sin. The posture towards sin should not be one like cozying up around a campfire with s'mores. You know, I love doing s'mores, having campfires, and cozying up. That should not be our posture to sin, just to hang around as close as we can to temptation and be like, God, how close can I get to sinning without sinning? We should flee the other way. Flee towards Jesus, or run towards Jesus, flee from sin. And if you're in a place of continual addiction, temptation, ongoing, invite a dear brother or sister to help you along the journey to keep you accountable. There's great victory that can come when we surrender to Jesus, we admit our brokenness, and we invite others in the body of Christ to help us. We're not meant to go through our Christian walk alone. We're meant to do it together. So if you're struggling, which I know all of us struggle in different ways, run toward Jesus, flee from sin. Do it with this grace and invite someone else to help you if you're in a place of repetitive sin and temptation that you keep falling to. God will give you the strength to overcome. So let's move on. Faith to receive. It says, do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good, this is awesome, let's lock in. You're right here. Verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variation or shadow due to change. What an amazing promise that God gives us. If every good gift is from our God. If we're not careful when we're in difficult situations, we can just assume that maybe God doesn't really care much for us. Or maybe good things don't really come from God. I just got to make it on my own. But James is reminding these early Christians on the go, have faith to receive that every good and perfect gift is from God. And he doesn't change. Isn't that wonderful that our God doesn't change?
Amen.
Right? Because his character is good. His love for you is unending. Praise God that his love does not change. Any relationship we have on this planet, we can have ups and downs. Marriages, ups and downs. Families, ups and downs. Friendships, ups and downs. Co-workers, ups and downs. Strangers we meet, probably ups and downs. But God promises it to never change. He stays the same yesterday, today, forever. He does not change and shift around like shadows. So his character is locked and solid. You can bet your life on it. And his word, he always backs it up. You can bet your life on it. Know that every good gift is from God, and that he does not change. And that's beneficial for us. It says, of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be the kind of first fruits of his creatures, of what God was doing with salvation through the early church, but also through what he would be doing to reach all people for Jesus. So I wanted to have a couple reflection questions this morning as we're talking about faith. Let's talk about working out this week. So we want to get real practical. There's a bunch of little segments, little like tidbits of themes that James is hitting on. How might you approach this today or this week? The idea is you want to hear from the Word of God and then apply it. Where do you need to grow in faith this week? Maybe it's having faith to trust God in every circumstance you encounter. We sometimes can have faith for circumstances that we've seen God move in. So maybe you've seen God move as a healer in your life or your family. So you're like, I have faith for God to be a healer. But maybe you've yet to see God to be your provider in a tangible way. So you're like, maybe I need to grow in faith. Maybe it's you've been stepping out in faith, being able to share Jesus this week. But it's like, I'm struggling having faith to love my spouse the way Jesus has called me to this week. Find the area. Some of us already know. You can ask God. If any of us lacks wisdom, ask the Lord. God, where's an area I can work this week to grow and have faith in you? Maybe we need to have faith through a trial. I mentioned going through something difficult. Possibly you're going through something difficult right now. Having faith that, God, you are still here with me, even though my circumstances are saying you're not. Even though emotionally I'm feeling like you're not, God, I'm still going to trust in you and your promises. Maybe it's in needing godly wisdom, having a heavenly perspective. Maybe you started maybe something with really, really high hopes, but now you're lacking on perseverance. Might the Lord be encouraging you to persevere, be steadfast, continue, unmovable in Him. Might it be faith to overcome temptations? All of us are tempted in different ways. If we all had to share how we're tempted, I'm sure there would be different ways that we might be more prone towards. But know that God is the solution and the way out to every single temptation. Amen? Yeah, I hope you believe that today. Every single temptation. Ones that maybe are well known, God knows all of them, and He wants to see you walk in freedom. Lastly, faith to receive what God has for you. That we would have the faith to, God, I want to receive that you are a good God, you have good gifts, and Lord, you don't change. That promise is true this morning, right now. I want to invite up the musicians at this time as we're getting ready to transition to a closing song. We'll have a benediction, and then we'll have a prayer time at the end. If there's any ways we can be praying for you, we'd love to do that. And maybe one area that you might like to receive prayer is that your faith would increase in God. Remember, Thomas approached Jesus. He's like, I want to believe, but help me, I'm doubting. Help me to believe. We can actually ask God, Lord, help me in the areas that I feel weak. Help me having faith in you. Where do you need to grow? We are positioned here in Potsdam in a really cool area to show Jesus. Like a really neat area. Like this is such a cool area to show Jesus. There's so many people that need to know Christ. And you and I, if you're a believer in Jesus, we have everything we need to share Jesus. I was reading a study recently by the Barna Group that was showing the top 10 cities in the whole country that were what they call like post-church or post-Christian. Meaning they've been exposed to like Christianity at some level, but there's like very few followers that would call themselves going to church, believing the Bible, believing Jesus, all these kind of things. And so I wanted to show you a map real quick And you're going to see something here, because we are positioned in a prime place to bring the hope of Jesus to those in need. So check this out together. I can move forward. Can we advance one more slide? Sweet. So here is the top 10 most of 2019, came out 3 weeks ago. You can look it up, they have all the stats if you want to see the criteria. But look at where all the dots are, besides two. Right? Massachusetts, Maine, Massachusetts, Vermont, New Hampshire, then you want specifics, Albany, Schenectady, Detroit, New York, Connecticut, Rochester, New York, and then we have two on the West Coast. We have California and Washington. And as I was looking at this, we were using this as a prayer focus on Tuesday for our revival prayer meeting. At first, I'll be honest, I was discouraged. I was like, no, here, come on, you know? Why can't some of the dots go to that side? But then God said, I've called you to bring hope. We're New Hope Community Church. We're here to bring hope to the people in darkness. I'm like, what a great place to shine the light in the place that is incredibly dark. Amen? Amen. So we're here on a purpose. God has a purpose for you, not just to get through your day, but to share what God has given you with others. And as we're talking about faith, some of it's just faith in our relationship with God in a deeper way. But may it be more than that. May it be, Lord, there's others that do not know Christ. They've been exposed to Christianity and denominations. They've seen, especially in Boston, they've seen a mishandling of denominations and scandals and all these things. And just people are just being like, I'm just done with all organized religion and church or whatever. People need to see authentic Jesus in you, right? Right? Show them the real Jesus, the Jesus that loves their enemies, the Jesus that will serve regardless of who it is or what they've done, the love that will penetrate through darkness and shine like the light. This is the Jesus that people need to see, and they want to see it in you. You are positioned with your family and friends to show Jesus in a way that only you can do through Christ growing through you. If you're working, you are in places of employment that God cares more about the people there than he does just about your paycheck. Sometimes we can focus so much on the paycheck and the resources that we miss that God, there are people right there who have yet to know the new hope that Jesus has given us. And Lord, may I not go quietly and silently with ever without showing that God loves them and that there's hope that they can have. Amen. So I want to then flip this. So who can you encourage this week by sharing new hope? Who might you encourage this week that they can trust in God and have faith, maybe receive Christ for the first time? Who do you know in your family or your coworkers who are in a trial and a difficulty and they need to know that they're not alone? When I used to work in a secular employment places in New Hampshire, I loved just chilling out and hanging out with non-Christians. I love it so much because that's where Jesus would hang out. It was awesome. And I specifically looked for opportunities to love people when life got difficult. Because we're in a broken world, do you know what? Everyone goes through trials, Christians and non-Christians. What a great opportunity to love people when they go through something difficult. And God gave me opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to love and love and be there when people are in the hospital or at funerals or whatever. And I wasn't anybody in a church. I wasn't doing anything but a title. I just was just loving people in a factory, loving people in a mall. And God was just opening opportunities to encourage people that God has a plan, God has a purpose, and that person's loved in a difficult place. Look for opportunities this week. Maybe you know people that need godly wisdom. They might not say it this way, but feel free to quote scripture to your friends and family. Just drop off the reference. This sounds super educated, right? It's like, where did you get that? Just be like, hey, this might be helpful, but, you know, boom, share a little verse, a little tidbit right there. You don't have to quote the reference, but share wisdom. It's godly wisdom. Might want to encourage people that, hey, there's more to life than what we're currently seeing, and giving them a heavenly perspective of the riches that Jesus has for them both in eternity and now. Might you know those who are just lacking in perseverance, you want to come along like a coach and encourage them that they can continue in perseverance and encourage them that, hey, God is the one that ultimately can give you the grace you need to do that. Do you know friends who are addicted to substances or maybe addicted to pornography or just different sexual things that you might, you know what, I want to encourage them. I want to love them. I want to let them know that they're loved and that there is hope to overcome. Might you want to come alongside and encourage someone this week in an area of addiction to a certain sin or temptation. And might we want to encourage some this week that, wow, if you don't know God, and you've only seen it on the news is not the best place to learn about God, by the way, or the church, maybe see that, you know, there is a good God who loves you, who cares about you, even if you don't know him, who has good gifts in store for you in advance, and he wants you to receive those. Might we be able to share that this week and take a step of faith? Jesus is the prime example of all of these things. I'm about to close, but Jesus is the prime example of all these things. When Jesus went to the cross, which I think we all consider a trial, he struggled, right? He's fully God, fully man, he struggled. He said, God, if there's any way that this cup can pass from me, that'd be great. But not my will, not my will, but yours be done. He said that 6 times. Jesus knows how to persevere in a trial. Jesus sees the joy on the other side of the trial. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, and he went to the cross, death, and resurrection, and now he's in heaven, praying for you 24/7, waiting to welcome you home. Jesus is awesome. When Jesus lacked wisdom, he only went to the Heavenly Father. When only he saw the Heavenly Father doing in heaven, that's what he would do on the earth. And that's how Jesus operated. How much more should we? He persevered. He was, I already mentioned, he was tempted by the devil and he overcame. And boy, did he get to receive the promises of what God had offered to him on the other side of the cross. The greatest joy and inheritance that Jesus was able to receive is people. It's you and I reclaiming us back from broken and darkness and from sin and the hold of the devil and setting us free to be children of God, daughters and sons of the King. That's what Jesus is all about. I want to take a moment to pray and then we'll have a song to just celebrate who Jesus is and what he's doing and coming back. Let's take a moment to pray as we wrap up. Heavenly Father, I thank you, God, for what you're doing around the globe. God, you're a big God. We try to make you small if we can, but you're big. God, I pray for an increase of faith in all of us this morning. And I want to have a response question. You can just raise your hand. If you're here this morning and you would like to ask the Lord, God, may my faith in you increase this week. You don't have to look around, but can you just raise your hand? I want an increase of faith this week. Increase in the faith of who Jesus is, the character of God. Increase in the promises of God in my life, in my family, my coworkers, and friends, and strangers. God, I want to have an increase of faith in the Northeast, God, that this place of darkness will be turned into a place of light, and that once was a place of missionaries being sent out, but once again be a place where missionaries are being sent. Just raise your hand real quick. I just want to just acknowledge that. Yeah, there's hands all over the place. You want to increase of faith. God, I want to have a bigger perspective of you than my circumstances. I'd love to pray for you. You can put your hands down. Heavenly Father, I just thank you, Lord, for how you're working in our midst. God, may our eyes, the lenses of our heart, see Jesus fully. God, may circumstances go in Jesus' name. God, may darkness go in Jesus' name. God, may addiction go in Jesus' name. Break off, Lord, I pray us now, that we could just focus in on Jesus. God, I pray for despair, discouragement, depression, and suicidal thoughts to be broken from any of us right now in Jesus' name, that we could lock in on Jesus and see him clearly. God, I pray for victory over fear, that I know some of us are wanting to step out in faith, but fear keeps coming in and telling us we can't. God, may your promises inform us that we can because of Jesus in us. Lord, I pray that we would move in power and love this week, even today, to love our families, our spouses, our friends, our co-workers, the world around us, Northeast, America, this whole world, in a way that shines Jesus ever so brightly until we go home to you or you come back. God, may you be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen.